Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You are listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. And, of course, that music is by Billy Foster with Renee Foster doing the vocal. And we thank them so much for providing our theme song.
So much. We love it.
I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. By the way, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, you can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank both of them for their generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, getting us on the air.
Yeah, thanks bunches, Greg.
And Art on the Air is now supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Art Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. We thank them, and we're excited about that.
Very much.
If you're interested in being a
equipment
guest.
Equipment upgrade.
Yes,
yay.
Yes. Maybe we'll do some remote stuff and telephone call in. Oh, that'll be fantastic.
We could use it today.
Yes, we could. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, or appear as a guest, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program is always streaming live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. You can hear our show archive of all the shows all the way back to October at breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And also, we have our detailed arts events calendar there. So we wanted to read you all the hyperlinks and the phone numbers and addresses and everything. You can just look it up there. Hey, our show is now being carried by WIUN Red Hawk Radio, IU Northwest Online Closed Circuit Radio Station. And we're looking to expand our coverage with other radio stations. They'll pick up this show. So if you're a radio station owner, manager, and interested in picking up our content, we'll be happy to talk to you about that. And now we'd like to talk about how we stay on the air. And, you know, we need underwriting support. WVLP is a community radio station. It means it's supported by our wonderful underwriters and things like individuals. And we are like listeners, show-specific, whether you do that. We would especially like, both Esther and I, if you'd like to support Art on the Air as an underwriter or a show supporter. It'd be so great to have them.
It would be excellent. Please, please.
So you can find out more about supporting our station at WVLP.org/support. That's WVLP.org/support. We have underwriter levels at a whole wide range of things. We'll read your at the beginning and ending of different shows. We'll do it throughout our broadcast day. It's so important. That's again WVLP.org/support. And I say this every week, and it may be cliche, but I want you to know, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel good about supporting our station and also our program. So we hope that. Hey, we're getting ready for the arts events calendars. I'm going to start with Porter County. And, well, we're going to talk a lot about this, but we have Valparaiso University Center for the Arts Brower Museum. Current exhibit is Corey Hegelberg and Brandt Lentling. That's going on for just a little while.
Till Sunday, right?
Till Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
through Sunday.
Yeah. Through Sunday. And, you know, the man we have as our guest, he'll talk more about that. Yeah. So I won't go into details. Village Gallery. Gallery at Pines through about middle of this month, about August 15th. Nostalgic Structures and Scenics by, oh my gosh, I know this guy, Larry Breckner. It's at the Village Gallery in Valparaiso. You can see it there. It's going to come down on August 15th, so if you don't get there by now, it'll be gone. Chesterton Art Center. Well, the work of Debbie Szymanski and all this has just come down, but guess what's being installed there? One of the previous show hosts of here, Melissa Washburn, her solo exhibit called All the Little Things, and she's been hanging that there. It will start to be, I think, completely done by today, but the actual opening reception is Sunday, August 11th, so you can find out details on our website. Mark Vanderwine continues on Wednesdays with his work as Critique Night at 7:30. Herb Held Watercolor Workshop, I think that is... Oh, that's actually passed. I didn't take that one off. Leona Gerenzi is doing a four-week workshop at Chesterton Art Center. That'll be beginning August 10th. It'll be a pencil class and watercolor. You can find out details again there. The big thing happening for Chesterton is the Chesterton Art Fair. In fact, today, as soon as I'm off the air chatting on here, I'm going to be driving to Dogwood Park to help with the setup there on this Friday for August 3rd and 4th. At the last board meeting we had, I think we were at 88 vendors. The closing date was July 15th, so our board meeting was before that. So we may have, we'll say maybe a round number near 90-some vendors. There have been anywhere from 90 to 100 vendors in the past. Usually there's about 3,000 attendees. And by the way, the weather's going to be nice. It's going to be in the 80s. It's going to be not very humid at all, and it's going to be no rain. So you should come out there. It's only $5 to get in. It's at Dogwood Park in Chesterton. And there's food there. We'll have some entertainment there. It's a great day to come out, and you can see a variety of art. It's all been juried in, so it's a great event to go to.
It's an excellent art fair.
So if you haven't been there ever before, you know, it's its 61st year of running. The art fair has actually predated the Chesterton Art Center. It actually one founded the other. So if you get a chance, come out to Chesterton Art Fair. I'll be running around with a camera and also helping out both days. So if you see a crazy guy running around with a camera, that's probably me. Art Barn, they're doing Laurel Izzard. She's doing Embroidering the Imagination. And that's one of the galleries in their main gallery space. And Robin Feely will be featured in the lobby gallery. And that'll be opening. You can find out details on Art Barn website. Link is on our events page. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Through the middle of August, Karen Brown and Alan Spaeth's exhibit goes there. Went to the opening. It's a fantastic exhibit. Alan Spaeth does these garments and everything. He designs actually wear for bands and for the color guards and everything like that. So that's kind of his prime, but he also has a very artistic flair. And of course, Karen works in glass, and she's also the curator there. The Ellen Firm Gallery in right there on US 12. Yanko Kostofanov. He's going to have an artist reception on August 9th. And if you don't know Yanko, he's got kind of unique artwork there.
Yeah, he's a very talented abstract artist. His mother's Kai, who does the very Renaissance medieval.
Kind of a contrast
paintings
in the family, isn't there? It was almost like when we had Kai and Brabant on here at the same time in our show, and two completely different artists. But you can see that there at the Firm Gallery there, right along US 12. Memorial Opera House. Well, if you missed Mamma Mia, you missed it. But they do have some children's show coming up. Peter Pan Jr. will be on August 2nd and 3rd. And you can see that, plus there'll be a one-time performance of Miss Electricity, and that's during their Saturday performance of Peter Pan. You can find out details on our events page, and it looks like that's it for Porter County. I don't think there's anything going on in LaPorte County this week, is there? No, we know there's a lot going on, right, Esther?
Well, there's a lot going on because it's first Friday, August 2nd, so. in LaPorte County, we have the Thaddeus C. Gallery. It's located in downtown LaPorte, and I don't know if Rush is still their current exhibit and ongoing. So we're just going to go with that because that's all I could find. Dune Summer Theater at 288 Shady Oak in Michiana Shores. They have Hansel and Gretel Meet the Swamp Witch, August 2nd, 3rd, 9th, and 10th. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists Before and After. It's an exhibition showcasing the Chicago Imagists, who inspired them and who they influenced. The exhibit runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. The Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. Their exhibit will be Fun and Games. It opens August 2nd for First Friday from 5 to 8 p.m., and that's by Terry Duncan. And her exhibit features mixed media pieces that include paintings and found objects suspended in layers of cast resin. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street is exhibiting the original watercolors by Terry Armstrong through the month of August. First Friday, opening August 2nd, 5 to 8. Southern Shore Art Association, the gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and their First Friday exhibit is titled Travel, Places, and Faces. Whether it is across the street, across town, state, country, or continents, there is always something new or intriguing that catches the artist's interest. Find your interpretation of new locations and or faces. That exhibit runs through August. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. They're getting ready for a new exhibition. Canterbury Summer Theater at 807 Franklin Street. Sad to say, this is their final show of their 2019 season. It's called Hold Me. It's a comic look at the urban at Urban Life by legendary satirist Jules Pfeiffer, and it runs through Saturday, August 3rd only. So we'll see you next year, and they're, it's always a complete joy to see everyone. They're great neighbors. Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street in Michigan City. We have a new exhibit opening August 2nd, 5 p.m. until whenever. We'll be there 11, 12 o'clock. We'll see. It's Robert Serco, Me, Myself, and Eyes, recent paintings and drawings, and we'll have a cash bar this evening. And we're looking forward to Greg Hertzlieb is here to talk about Bob's exhibit. Bob's in Houston in the hospital right now, so he's going to miss it. So this is kind of trying to get everybody to meet at 7 p.m. at the gallery so we can FaceTime with Bob and he can see all his friends at the gallery. Drum Circle at 6:30 with Don Wenig every second Thursday. August 8th is the next get-together, and we're heading into our fourth year of Drum Circle. August 9th, Improv, Jazz, and Writing. This is a free gathering. Robert Wolf will be reading from some of his works. Come and meet Bob before the writing workshops on the 10th and the 11th. We're starting that at 7:30. August 10th and 11th, spend Saturday immersed in the world of Jack Kerouac, Gertrude Stein, and Ezra Pound. And Sunday, we go deeper into Kerouac, free writing, and the mind of jazz. August 17th, Ondine, Mermaid Gathering and Perfume Launch from 3 to 5 p.m. Doreen will give a fun, informative, interactive presentation about perfumery and dish up some mermaid lore. August 17th, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. every third Saturday. Da-da-da-da! It's open mic meets Vaudeville meets show and tell. Something extremely special is probably happening on August 24th at 6:30 p.m. Save the date and we'll let you know next week. Friday, August 30th at 5:30 p.m. is free Tai Chi Easy and Qigong class with Christy Putnam. For more events and details, look at the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. And that's it for LaPorte.
Excellent. One other thing for Southern Shore, because I'm curating it, is for the September exhibit. It's an all-photography exhibit called Your Best Shot. And yes.
Well, yay.
And
Art Barn, take notice.
Yes. And Trent Albert is going to be the juror on it. And what I'm doing is a little bit different. Instead of having this first, second, third place honorable mention junk, I put it into categories. And so there will be one best of show, and then everything will be like, I think, still life. So watch for photographers. Watch for that posting. It'll be coming out in the email and the MailChimp pretty soon. And details will be on the Southern Shore Art site, and I will send it out to other people.
Okay. So the show itself doesn't have, it's like a broad show then.
It's a broad show, but there'll be different categories that the prize is like still life, people in portraits. And so I have it broken down in different categories. So people will win in a category and stuff. So instead of, you know, first, second, third, honorable mention, you know, it's like, it's kind of miscongeniality of all awards there. So
excellent.
So that's a LaPorte County thing add-on there. So we'll move on to Lake County, 119th Street Artists, Cornerstone Gallery. They're wrapping up their current exhibit, this weekend, so if you have a chance, you can get in there and see there. And their new and final exhibit, unfortunately, will be the Beyond the IU. It's going to be Sarah Pete Connery, Dawn Dinatopoulos, and Neba Lear Trice. That'll be opening August 16th. The current exhibit you can go see. I have three pieces in there, by the way, if you want to go see that. 119th Street Gallery in Whiting there. And then after that exhibit, September 13th closes, they'll be out of there and probably disbanded as a group. So it's kind of sad. But if you want to support them for their last hurrah, there we go.
Yeah.
Down the street from them, Studio 659, they're doing their Metropollination exhibit that opened July 17th. It's going to run through the end of August. It's about urban farming, windsill, herb gardens, potted things, how anything like that doing to with metropolitan gardening and things like that, and I'll run through then. South Shore Arts, they continue with in the Bachman Gallery, Renee McGinnis, Tales from the Biosphere. And they'll run through pretty much the end of August, August 25th. In the Atrium Gallery is Bob Pomolari, Straight Shooters Photography, and that'll be running through September 8th. Toll Theater, part of the Southern Shore Arts Overton in Hammond. They'll feature the art of Annika Detger, Between the Real and Imagined. Cathay Fresco in Crown Point. Joel Takazarek, I'm going to get this wrong each time, Takazarek, Then and Now. He's a nature artist that's based out of Highland. He specializes in very realistic bird portraits. They'll be running through September. And the annual Salon Show, call for submissions for the 76th Salon Show. The exhibit will run September 14th through the 10th. Entry deadline is August 16th coming up. It's curated by David Clayman, professor and dean of school of arts at IUN. So you can see information about that. We have a link on our website. 61, an exhibit celebrating the 61st National Park. You know where that 61st National Park is? It's right in your doorstep here in Northwest Indiana. The Indiana Dunes, formerly National Lakeshore, now National Park. It's a great exhibit featuring different areas of the park. There's actually sandboxes. It's a family-friendly exhibit, and that's at the Welcome Center on Kennedy Avenue, just off the expressway in Hammond. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, In Her Own Style. Robin is the original owner, Robin Feely, and she's there. You can see her at the Marshall J. Gardner Center for Arts, and they're open on weekends. Again, details are on our events page. South Lake Artist Cooperative, as we know, commonly love them, SLAC. They still are doing their exhibit Texture at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point, and they're doing China Cat Sunflower exhibit at Coffee House 2 in Highland. They also have a call for art due on August 12th. Again, details on their Facebook page. Link is on our events page. Calumet College, Whiting, as far as I know, is still looking for adjunct faculty for digital and studio arts, a full-time faculty, and a part-time position. I have the link to their HR department, so you can find that out. Between You and the Eye, this exhibit's about ready to close on August 16th. It's a photography exhibit curated by Felix Mondolano. It's at the Hammond Development Corporation on Hammond, the HDR building right there, and has 9 area photographers. I have a link on there. And Theater for Young Audiences, Chicago company of Jack and the Beanstalk. For Theater for Young Audiences, that's only going to be running Saturday, August 3rd. That's at the Center for Visual Performing Arts, Theater for Young Audiences. So that's what we have going on in Lake County. And if you want to get your arts events in, however you want, again, it's very easy. Just send it to artontheair@gmail.com. We'd love to see that, my box packed full of stuff, and we'll get it on the air and on our events page.
Yes, it's a benefit to everybody.
It sure is. We want to expand the scope of the program, not to just be focused on Valparaiso or Porter County. We're trying to make it definitely useful for the three-county area. Well, we're going to move on to our guests. You are listening, by the way, to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and streaming live at WVLP.org. Well, not a stranger to this microphone or this show at all. One of the former hosts of this show, along with Melissa, Greg Hertzlieb, has come here. He's the director curator of the Brower Museum of Art in Valparaiso University, and again, talking briefly about his background, I'll do this. Go ahead. He's a master's degree from the Art Institute, and also an education, a separate master's degree in education, and editor of multiple books on art and things like that. So he has lots of duties there at the museum, and does printmaking, a whole bunch of things in his own art. So anyway, we're going to first talk about a little bit about what's going on at Brower, the little bit of the history and everything like that. So welcome back to the microphone.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So
I appreciate the opportunity.
We always love to have you here. So let's talk a little bit about the history of Brower and the history of like art at Valpo a little bit, and how then the Brower Museum came to be.
Well, now the collection came to the university. The kind of kernel of the art collection, about 400 pieces, came to the university in 1953 with a gift from a fellow named Percy Sloan. Now, Percy Sloan was a Midwesterner like his father, Junius Sloan. Junius Sloan was a painter, a kind of a Hudson River School style painter, but based in the Midwest. And so Percy had his father's life's work in art, along with a pretty good size art collection that he, pieces that he collected himself over the years. So it was about 400 total pieces of art that Percy had, and he came to the university and said, would the university like to have this? And so at that time, Valpo said, well, you know, go ahead and gladly take it. That was the basis for things. There was no museum building, so the collection was housed in the downstairs of the Mollering Library, the campus library. And people displayed it some, you know, put up things on campus and things like that. But it didn't really have any kind of identity or focus or organization to it until Dick Brower came along. He started in the early 1960s and was the chair of the art department and enjoyed his duties in that regard. But when he saw the collection and all the possibilities for it, he said, is there a way that I could become the curator of the art collection as opposed to continuing in studio or studio instruction? And so the administration said, well, that sounds like a good idea. So then he began his role as curator of the Sloan Collection. And so for, gosh, it must have been 30, little bit shy of 35 years. He curated exhibitions in the downstairs area. Let's say 30 years, probably closer to it. And in 1995, the Center for the Arts was built. The Urschel family provided the funds for the museum space in the Center for the Arts. Dick Brower assisted it, by the way, by Gloria Ruff, my current coworker, and Kirsten Renahan, who is a loyal supporter and also teaches, or I think she retired, taught at Chestnut High School. They moved everything from the library to the center for the new Center for the Arts space that the Urschels paid for. The Urschel family, rather than title it the Urschel Museum of Art, they wanted to recognize those decades of work from Dick Brower, so they called it the Brower Museum of Art, so honorary designation there. And like I mentioned before, Gloria was involved with the museum at that time and then worked in some other campus departments and then came back to the Brower probably in 2001, and we've been working together ever since. Yeah. So that, in a nutshell, that's kind of how it all happened. And
you're a great team.
Yeah, and I started at the museum in 2000. I was a high school teacher at Chesterton High School, my old high school, and then I enjoyed it, but it was time to do something else. Kind of got a little bit of burnout, and so heard from Kirsten Renahan that a position was open at the Brower Museum, and then just kind of changed career path. So,
yeah, that's a heck of a nice change there. It's a great operation, great opportunity for you, and you've made your mark on that with the years you've been there. It's
thanks.
You're a great asset to the not only the region but that museum. So now
appreciate it.
They have you have the permanent collection, which is that. Right. Do you have other things in the permanent collection, Billy? Oh.
Yeah, that's a really good point to kind of complete the story. So that initial kernel or core, like I mentioned, was 400 pieces with that 53 gift. And then since then, we've grown to about 5,000 pieces. And highlights of that number include when Dick started in the early 60s, people didn't really think, just generally didn't think much of American art. It was more exciting to think about European art.
Right.
So Dick was able to buy a fantastic Georgia O'Keeffe painting for not a whole lot of money. And he chose very well. The O'Keeffe that we have is an asset to our collection, and every museum wants to borrow it. I mean, it's just a real nice one, a landscape. And so we're real proud of that. And a lot of works by Charles Birchfield and some really exciting work by Jeanette Passon Sloan that we have. And so depending on what you're interested in, we've got all kinds of
You have
fun
an Andy
things.
Warhol in there, too.
Andy Warhol, that's really exciting. Polaroids and screen prints, and we've got a really nice Ansel Adams that's really sharp.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on kind of
some
what
really wonderful
in.
Female artists, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. The Joan Mitchell.
Joan Mitchell,
I was thinking of the Sunflower. And Kara Walker, we've got a really nice one. We've got a really nice painting by Elizabeth Norse, and it's a big, real kind of moody, kind of old mastery painting of a mother holding a baby, and the baby looks as pleased as can be eating, you know, ready for, to have more. I think that the mom and the daughter are just playing, as I recall. And then there's a little girl that's looking out at the viewer. And it's just, it rings true because, I mean, what's this little girl going to be doing in real life? She's going to be looking at the new guest coming in. And in this case, the guest happens to be the viewer. So I think that's kind of fun.
You know, down to some nuts and bolts, the museum is open to the public, correct?
Right. We're free and open to the public. And we're open every day except for Monday. And our summer hours through, I think it would be mid-August, I'll have to check the date on that, are noon to 5. So noon to 5 every day except for Monday when we're closed.
And we'll have a link on our events page to that. And they can join. You know, you look for support for membership, just like a lot of non-for-profits.
Right. We have a membership group called the Partners for the Brower Museum of Art, and we have a partners informational section on our website, or you could call me at the museum at 219-464-5761, and I can fill you in on that.
That'd be great. Now, you do some other fun things there, too. You have a movie noir type thing. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think we're entering our sixth year with that. And what happened is there's a fellow from IU, Indiana University, Northwest, Peter Aglenskis. He's a Porter County fellow and a musician as well as a film historian. And he approached me a while back and said, what do you think about doing a film noir series at the Brouwer Museum? Now, I'm not super familiar, or at least I wasn't then, I wasn't too familiar with film noir, but it's actually, it'd be kind of like the black and white movies, very moody, involves maybe like a private eye or something like right. that, and a femme fatale,
always.
And some crime goes wrong or something like that. And so they're in a full atmosphere and excitement. And so I thought, well, that might be kind of fun in the context of the museum, like an art museum. It's kind of like a caper's going on.
Exactly.
And we've had just an absolute blast with it. And so what happens is everybody comes in at 7 o'clock on the particular Thursday Night Noir, once a month in the spring, and sit down for the movie. And then after the movie, Peter gives a presentation where he talks about all the kind of insights.
Yeah, all the nuances of the film. It's yeah. excellent.
And there's all kinds of guest appearances and cameos by actors and actresses that we know now, but at the time they were maybe starting
sure.
out.
They were studio actors.
Right.
Elaine de Kooning, that's who you have.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
A real nice one called Veronica. And a beautiful painting by her, a real prize in the collection. But thanks for bringing that up. It's a real highlight.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And another thing you have going on there is what I think they call Wednesday Night Joe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Now, I just want to mention, because I updated the information for the new season on our website. So, for example, for the film noir series, if you want to find out the dates for those noirs in this coming up in this winter and spring, they're on the website, which is valpo.edu/Brouwer-museum-of-art. But that gets to the website. But then also coffee hours or Wednesday Night Joe also have a section on the website. And those would be occasions for artists or writers or curators, any kinds of scholar or creative people to talk about the process in a program, and they're free and open to the public. So, for example, a coffee hour. We have one planned for, we're working on one for Betty LaDuke. She's our headline show for the fall, but we don't have a date for her yet. She has some things that she's still working on. But like, for example, when that event happens, Betty LaDuke would come out and just talk to the audience and share her creativity and ideas.
Are you looking for artists to do that, or are yeah. you just kind of?
Yeah, the coffee hour programs accompany the shows that we have.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, if something exciting is going on, we always like to hear about it. So, if somebody has an idea, I mean, behind
get in touch with you.
Exactly.
And then you also have, I want to go ahead and take the break right now.
Okay.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and you're talking to Greg Hertzlieb here about what things going on at Brouwer Museum. You also have exhibits that you can see online called virtual exhibits. Tell us just a little bit about
right.
that.
Yeah, now there are the virtual exhibits that are on the website where, for example, an English professor on campus, John Ruff, did a virtual tour of Junius Sloan's adventures out on the East Coast. So, I mean, you could check that out. Yeah. Or David Morgan, a while back, did a virtual show on American art and national identity. We also have a virtual tour on the website. So you can click on the virtual tour and go through the museum like you're visiting, except you're doing it via your computer. And that's courtesy of Dan and Ashley Lindquist, the donors who paid for that, and it's fantastic.
Is it just the current exhibit, or is it past as well?
It would be a past exhibit from 2017 when we showed Frank Dugley.
Oh, yeah.
Dunes paintings.
Oh, that was a good show.
So yeah, if you missed the 2017 show of Dunes paintings by Frank Dugley, you can see it in the virtual show.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty good.
Pretty fabulous.
All the different paintings that are in it.
So is the permanent collection archive those 5,000 plus pieces?
Yeah, now we have everything.
That's available for the public?
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
In other words, we have everything in our database, but how to get the database onto the website, stay tuned.
Yeah, you know. Time to talk to the Met, huh? Didn't they do that?
Yeah. And we're looking for an approach. What happened was we had probably a third of the way toward that goal, and then the university changed to a new website format. And I guess with that, then still kind of learning on how to flush it out with this new feature. So, and I mean, you know, given my mastery of technology, it's probably going to take a little while. I'm still in the pencil and paper days.
I know, I'm very analog with everything.
Well. Luckily, I'm not, but that'll be.
We are so lucky you're not.
Yeah, it's good to have Larry, with the tech savvy.
Yeah, it's good. Well, that way we're able to get our shows out. I'm especially proud of having both the arts events calendar and our archive of our shows. So you can go back all the way to October. The only one we don't have is our very, very first one, because I don't know if it didn't get recorded, but everyone since then, since October, has been available.
That's excellent.
That's Breck, BRCH.com/AOTA, if you want to listen to any of our past shows, including this one, which will be up sometime later this afternoon after I'm done at the park. So we're going to move on to an exhibit that's going to be at the Nest, and it's sort of bittersweet in many ways. Now, I've never met the artist, Robert Circle, though I feel like I know him through Esther and everything like that, everything. So why don't you go ahead and introduce and talk about that. I know he's Professor Emeritus from Valpo. But tell us a little bit about Robert and his work that's going up in your gallery that you hanged until 5:30 this morning.
In a matter of hours, we're having our opening for Robert Serco. I met Robert through a mutual friend, Rick Valicente, who he worked for in Chicago after college, I believe. Do you know? Is that true? Is that when he met Rick?
Didn't
he work for him right after college or during college? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I remember him telling me about that, but not really sure on the exact dates on it. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. Robert is such an amazing painter and visionary. And you look at his work, and one of the first questions he always gets asked is if he does psychedelics. And he never has, but his paintings are just fantastical and colorful and have so much movement and detail. You know, I think it's one of those works where, you know, 10 years from now, you're still going to see it and discover things that you didn't see before. It happens to me all the time. I walk in a particular way and I see the painting in a whole new light and get so much more deeper meaning from it as the days go by. Mm-hmm. So Robert has been working. He's gone through a really tough time with mantle C lymphoma, which is a very, very rare form of lymphoma. I think this last remission was his third or fourth remission, and that ended like a week ago, and he's back in Houston. So he will not be at the opening, and I'm so happy Greg is going to talk about his work because he can do it so much more eloquently than I can.
One thing with Bob I want to mention is that in addition to being an artist, he's also curated some shows at the Brouwer Museum. And I guess I bring that up because it does tie into his work. Yeah. You know, if you don't mind me mentioning that.
Oh, no.
It started out that, because, Bob and I have always been, friends since I started there, and certainly admired his work. And so one day, and I think I mentioned that because I think he likes the Brouwer, too, and I think he saw a lot of possibilities there. And so he came up to me one day, and he said, yeah, Greg, the other night I was doing a search for, it was like a art technology or virtual art or something like that, just kind of punching in some, get some ideas. And he came across an artist named Brian Knapp, who is an artist that works with computer technology and new media. And so Brian did this floor mat in the museum where as you walked on the floor mat, this lighted patterning started to show up. Now, Bob, in addition to, he was chair of the art department, but also was a professor of graphic design, and as a professor of graphic design was pretty pretty savvy with the computer. And so this new media with this digital, it tied right into his interests. Mm-hmm. And also I think that Bob was hoping to give students an expanded view of what art could be. So this is, you know, brand new, and I'd never seen anything like it before, and blew everyone's mind. So that was a real nice show, and made a new friend in Brian, and I don't think it was much longer after, very long after that, that Bob said, well, this curating show's, curating stuff's kind of fun. What do you think about having Henry Diltz here? Henry Diltz, a rock and roll photographer. All the classic rock and roll albums, Morrison Hotel, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, right. Henry Diltz took these shots. And so I'm like, well, it sounds good. So then Bob curates a show of Henry Diltz's work. And he came out, and people were asking him to sign his albums, and we had all these great, iconic rock and roll photographs up. Very cool. And then the third show was the, you know, tour de force, and that was an exhibition of inner visions, art that was inspired by ayahuasca and psychedelics. But it was more of an anthropological type show. And we had a day of a day-long symposium. I think it was really one of the better shows and events that we've ever had at the museum. I mean, it was a smash hit. Very exciting. Produced a top-notch catalog. Bob designed the catalog for it.
The catalog was gorgeous.
And then met some national figures out of the show. And I think that started Bob on a new art path that I think continues to play out. I admired his digital work, and then he got into painting and some mixed media, and I like that. But with the Inner Vision show, it was like figuratively both, I think a door had been kind of opened. Mm. I mean, you know, a third eye or something like that.
Without the ayahuasca.
Yeah. And I'm, frankly, from what I've heard about ayahuasca, I'm just a little bit chicken. And so I'm kind of glad that maybe you didn't, you know, because, you know, you worry about people, you know what I mean? I don't know what it's all about. But all I know is that he's finding plenty of creativity, you know, just on his own. So that's fine with me. But so he started with these works that were more visionary, I think, than maybe the other stuff. The other work was certainly inspired in its way, but this was more kind of mystical, I guess. And it was very pattern-oriented and vibrating in its color, and very inventive, and it was hinting at these other worlds and
multiple worlds at the same time. It's just all intermixed.
Yeah,
and
so those initial visionary works, you know, kind of coming out of the Inner Visions, were highlighted in the faculty show that we had a couple years ago. Where Bob had his own gallery, because that was his retirement show. And there were a couple canvases up that hinted at the direction that I think you see most in your Nest show currently.
He did those graphite drawings that led to this whole explosion of new work that's
right.
deep.
Yeah.
You know, I like a quote that I saw came across Bob. What he said is about how things are 10 times, I'm paraphrasing, speed in graphic design, things are changing 10 times as fast, but in painting, the last innovation was putting paint into a tube.
Well, that's also the difference between the digital and the painting.
Right.
And there's so much time put into a painting that you just don't get that same sense with the digital work. I mean, not that there's not time put into it, but
well, when Bob was doing the digital work, he was, I really got the feeling that he was creating worlds.
Yeah.
But I think with this new stuff, I mean, there are some worlds that you can't get to with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is pretty personal stuff he's talking about, so the only way to do it is through that human filter, I think. The only vehicle is a paintbrush.
Right.
And so when you look at these, they're dark. You know, these paintings that are in the Nest show, the current Nest show, they're dark, but they're not depressing.
No, they're not depressing.
I mean, it's kind of
well, actually,
like,
one sort of the graphite drawings that when I first saw those soft ones, they actually made me tear up. I mean, they're just very emotional,
poignant.
Yeah, very poignant.
Yeah.
But for the whole, I would agree, it's not at all depressing, but it is a darker palette than he's used before.
Yeah, all I can think of is it's kind of like, you know, like for example, I like if you go to a cave, like Mammoth Cave or something like that. I don't know that I would describe Mammoth Cave as a depressing place. It's dark, but it's a treasure trove underground. Mm-hmm. And I think these are kind of like treasure troves within. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, here Bob is in the hospital or contemplating his illness and contemplating how he feels. And I think that when he's exploring and he's going in, he's finding, you know, these things going on, it's kind of like spelunking in your own body.
It is. We were just Bob and I were just talking about this last night, actually, because we were talking about all the paintings and some of the work is a huge departure. Like he has two paintings in acrylic, which he hasn't worked in before. The one, which explore, and a lot of his themes have to do with below and above, like what's under the ocean, all that, you know, like all these murky areas of deep space and hidden things and secret things. And
now, in the tail end of the, these were on display in the faculty show a couple years ago. Some of those initial graphite drawings where he was taking kind of details and then finding landscapes within the details. And some of these works currently on display continue with that. So it's kind of like looking at sometimes with some of the pieces, looking at a real craggy landscape with these vertical kind of striations and then getting up closer and then realizing it's not really a landscape because all the strata have faces.
Mm-hmm. And eyeballs. Tentacles.
They're topographies, you know. And the colors in the past and the gestures and the areas, passages, for a while now have been liquid. And these continue with the liquidity, you know, but they're kind of like running and morphing and evolving and before your eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and his one exhibit was called Cancer Visions, and it's how this illness has really influenced his art. And I guess, you know, when you have something that challenges your life, that would definitely do that. And what's the name of the exhibit at your place, though? Is it a title for the exhibit? She forgot.
Oh, it's Me, Myself, and I.
Me, Myself, and I.
And the eyes were all over the Inner Vision show because, I mean, Inner Visions, you know, looking within. And so maybe that's where I think that's maybe where his eyes come, because there are a lot of eyes in the show.
And there's a lot of experimental work in this, because he said when you have death hanging over your shoulder, sometimes you don't know which direction to choose, and there's an anxiety of choices, and then you just go, you know, there's people I admire, there's techniques I wanted to try that are out of my usual comfort zone. And so with this exhibit, he has let loose and tried, you know, you see influence of Ernst and de Kooning, and he's incising, and he has glitter in some of the pieces because he wanted to imitate the brightness of the Renaissance painting, those eyes, you know, that catch the light. Well, he wanted to do it in a different way, and he's employed, you know, judicious use of glitter in places and impasto and rollers and things that, you know, so, and it's all evident in the show in a very unique way.
Yeah, see, those are excellent comments. I mean, I think those are really handy. It all speaks to the hand, you know, the hand at work, and I think enhances the work. And, you know, to think about these things, and, you know, that's what's tricky. I mean, on the one hand, when I look at the work and I hear Esther's comments, I get enthusiastic because I see the connections being made. Like, for example, I think about cancer abstractly, and I think, well, it's kind of like your body almost too alive. You know, like life taking, life life-killing life.
Right, right. It's like a war inside your body. And
yeah.
You, yeah.
So
and
on the one
liquid.
Hand, yeah, my heart breaks
liquid.
For Bob mm-hmm. on a personal level. But when I look at the art and I think intellectually about these things and all the kind of rhymes and connections, I mean, it's marvelous. But I don't want this kind of, delight I get in the marvel, or the marvel and the delight, or whatever. I don't want it to interfere with the fact that, on a personal level, I care deeply about Bob and the way you feel. You know what I'm saying about that?
Yeah, but you're right. It's like a calculated chaos or something in his paintings, and of course it is because what he is going through physically and emotionally and psychologically, dealing with all the things surrounding his illness.
We're listening to Greg Herzlieb on WVLP and Art on the Air, and we're talking about Robert Serko and his wonderful work and everything like that. And what a great I'm looking at the webpage right now with some of his stuff on the cancers, and it's amazing. You can just do a quick search, just typing his name in, Robert Serko, and you can see some of his work.
And so with those dense things from those early graphites that are now these magnificent oil paintings, he always leaves like a way out. Mm-hmm. And so, because you'll get caught in, but then there's an opening that, releases some of that energy. Mm-hmm. He has a graphite though right now called... Oculus. I can't remember the title. I just wrote it like 10 times, but I don't remember it. But it doesn't have, it does not have that escape route. So that's one I've been studying a lot, because you get all embroiled in the emotion and
right.
It's really nice to have that landscape that you're, that little opening to of release some of that emotion.
But. Right. I mean, he's going through it, but at the same time, he's sharing it in a way that you can enjoy, because, I mean, they really are paintings to enjoy. And the other thing, too, is that Bob's got a zaniness to him. I mean, with all of it, there is this kind of quirky, zany quality. Something I mentioned in an essay about his work a while back is that... through it all, he's a guide. I mean, he wants to go with you. He wants to see how you react. And when you encounter this new work, to understand the seriousness of the motivating factor, but then also have some fun with it. Because, I mean, these faces along the way are quirky.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't get trapped by that, because the deeper meaning is just, it's right there. I mean, you just get sucked into his work. And yes, you can, you smile with all, I mean, it's like quite a juxtaposition of all these different emotions.
He strikes a balance.
He does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a real nice effect. And the other thing, too, is it's nice to see how Bob handles the paint. Because he's always, I mean, even though for the longest time early on I knew him as a digital artist, he would tell me time and again, I was trained as a painter. And so now we're seeing, with this new work, especially seeing some, exciting stuff happening with surface and kind of gloss versus matte.
Right. It is true, the glitter. glitter is like very, very new. And what I told Bob the other day, I said, 2 years ago, you look at his work and you go, how could he get any better? And then this work is so deep and so mature and
it is exciting stuff.
Yeah, so fully realized.
I was thinking the same thing. To see this new batch, it's like, well, son of a gun, he was able to...
take a leap.
Yeah. And I mean, it's unlike anything I've really seen before. I mean, honestly, I haven't seen anything like this before from him. Another thing that's really neat, too, is that... I think this was certainly true with the last show you had of Bob's at Nest, is that he's able to generate product. So if you come in and you can't afford a big painting...
Yeah.
You can take something home.
It's so true. But with this exhibit in particular, he's made it very accessible. He does, and he uses all this time, like the cancer series was done while he was getting chemo, you know, in the chair getting chemo or in the office waiting. And so he's done these 4x6 graphite drawings in the gallery, done on the plane going to Houston or Houston coming back to Indiana, and or in the waiting room waiting for the doctor. So he has a series of like 20 of these small graphite things that he has made, extremely affordable. So
absolutely,
you can have an original Bob Serco.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right, he's able to reproduce them as well, mm-hmm. you know, his paintings and other things in other formats. So
Different phases of his career, too, with some of the earlier digital images available as a card.
That's right. We have them as cards, or the portfolio, which you did the intro on,
right.
I think, a few years ago.
I mean, that's just nice. You know, I mean, there have been so many times I've gone to a gallery show in the past and looked around like, this is great work. Unfortunately, I don't have this much money. Whereas you go into Nest, and I mean, and plus two, that's an earth, I just do a plug in for, or a plug for Nest is when I go in, I always like to see the shows, but there's also a lot of other inventory.
There's a lot of activity going on, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you go in, I mean, like, for example, you can go into Nest and check out the main show. And then all of a sudden notice that you can get a jar of, a bottle of Sambuca.
Right.
Is that what it's called, Sambuca?
Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Sambuca is a liqueur.
Artisan, yes.
Okay. All right, never mind.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Indiana crafted, yes.
You know, you've been drinking that, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's a ceramic piece that you would look great in your house, and before you know it, you're
hanging. We have a lot of national artists, and great ceramics and glass. Yeah.
I think that's really fun.
So where's the Nest at? And you might want to get just make sure. Let's really promote
803
this.
803 Franklin Street, right in between Station 801 Restaurant and the Canterbury Theater.
So this is a good night to go because
what
time are we going to have?
The opening starts at 5, but it would be great if everybody could come around 7. I mean, come anytime. Stay. Come and stay. We have a cash bar, and we'll have some refreshments.
And what time, Greg, are you going to be talking about the exhibit?
Now, that is at a later date.
Oh, that's a later date.
September 22nd, I think.
September 22nd. Yeah. Now, the with the comments today, you know, more kind of general comments and, you know, just kind of thinking about Bob's art in the abstract. But at the gallery talk, I'll be surrounded by the art. You know, I really look forward to that because I'll be able to point to specific paintings and talk about recurring images or effects the paintings have. You know, just have fun in the context of the gallery. So it'll be a different experience, but I really hope to see you out there. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it will be too. You can glean so much from, you are just so knowledgeable and so interesting. And to be right there with the art and be able to talk about it, it's going to be quite an experience.
Well, thanks. I mean, I certainly will find myself energized by it. And you feed off a crowd, so you're, you know, talking to people and all of a sudden somebody raises their hand and, you know, Greg, did you happen to see this face over there? And, you know, probably I didn't. And so, you know, get ideas and insights from the people that attend too.
True. I texted Bob the other day and I said, okay, I've just gotten up close. Cause when you hang a show, you're intimate with that work. You are so close to it and it's a whole different experience. And so I had just put up this really big piece of work and I said, well, I was just face to face with the wonderful Wizard of Oz, and then Bob Hope was right there, and I think I saw David Bowie, and I'm sure that was Mr. Rogers in the bow tie, and he's like, well, no, I don't do it intentionally, but people do see things, because I was like, there's Lemony Snicket, and there's Basil Rathbone, and so, you know, that's like a whole other layer to his paintings as well, but I'm sure that's Bob Hope.
And see, that's the thing too. I really think that artists operate somewhat subconsciously to the point where they don't always know 100% what they're doing.
Yeah, you
and
go
so
into
maybe some
like,
of it slip through.
It does. I mean, because you're just in the moment so thoroughly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
but it seems to me like a lot of Wizard of Oz sort of, or to my eye, there seems to be a lot of Wizard of Oz influences and other things.
Mickey. I think that, I mean, just from comments in the past and, conversations, I think that Bob's really inspired by childhood experiences, childhood memories, popular culture, yeah. kind of seeping in. And
boy, and then what he does with it.
Well, one thing before we have just a couple minutes left. What do we have coming up at Brouwer Museum for, like, exhibits?
Well, the next, it looks like the next exhibits are going to open on August 20th.
Okay.
And open for viewing, I should say. And on August 20th, then it'll be three shows. Betty LaDuc is the main show. Paintings paintings on wood and canvas. And then the second show is Soo Kwak, a Korean-American painter, and those will be paintings. And then the third is Mark Fletcher, Ceramics, and ceramics and drawings. Incredible show. So those three we're really looking forward to. It's one of those things where, just to give you an idea of what was happening is I had the season brochure pulled up with all the information, and then it went to sleep on me. So I had to log in real fast.
Well, we jump back to that from our other topic. Yeah. But
August 20th, Betty LaDuc, Soo Kwak, and Mark Fletcher.
Do you have an opening reception type thing?
Yeah, now that will be on Friday, September 6th.
Okay.
A little bit later.
Sure.
So everybody on campus gets set up.
Okay. And then you'll have other exhibits throughout the year. That will be up for how long?
Now that'll be up through December 8th.
Okay.
And then you get into January 7th, and that's a new batch of shows. The headline is C. Curry Boehm, and then we have a Japanese print show, and then Mary Bork. But I just updated the website this morning. So if you go to the Brouwer Museum's website, you'll be able to see these information in detail.
Okay.
And what are your hours on Sunday?
Noon to 5.
Noon to 5. Okay. Yeah, I have to come and see that show.
Yeah. Yeah, last day for it. Yes. It's open through the end of the day on Sunday, so perfect timing.
Well, we thank you, Greg, for coming again back on your old microphone here, and appreciate also our discussion about Robert Zirko. Good luck down there in Houston. We know you're listening to us. And
we'll be thinking of you tonight, Bob.
Yeah, yes. Sending you bunches and bunches of love.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. Your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager. Underwriters for the show, again, for Art in the Air, is ironically, Valparaiso University's Brouwer Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and also the National Endowment for the Arts, and we appreciate that. Again, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or appear as a guest, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we have Robert Wolf, and he's going to discuss all his things. You're excited about that, Esther.
I am.
One of yours. So
writing workshops are always interesting.
So he'll be on August 9th, so we hope you don't. And I'll see you right here next week on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Have a great week. Aloha, everyone.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.